It was a great start to the 8-game road trip for the New York Yankees as they took 3 of 4 games against the Cleveland Indians. Is it safe to say that the Bronx Bombers are back? We'll talk about it and recap the series as a whole on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Like I said in the opener, it was a great weekend for the Yankees. They take 3 of 4 from the Cleveland Indians. We are going to recap the series as a whole and kind of discuss whether or not it's safe to say the New York Yankees are officially back. Yes, the start to the season was not great. They were coming into this series having lost 6 of their last 7. They get back on track by winning 3 out of 4, taking care of business as they started up and got halfway through their 8-game road trip. So positive sign here, but we're going to talk about the series as a whole and kind of break down the key moments from the 4-game set. We're also going to talk about, at the end of the show, some trade rumors that came about involving one of the Yankees' top flight players. Are the Yankees really looking to trade Aaron Judge, or is it just preliminary talks? We're going to break down the rumors and kind of give our input on it, try to kind of break down the information that came along regarding the status of Aaron Judge. A lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. Just in case you don't already know, you can follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick Delahanty. Love talking Yankees baseball. Join in on our conversation. Hit me up on Twitter. I'd love to hear the feedback from you guys. And if you're a Facebook person, make sure you like our page. Go to Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We're also available on Instagram by looking up Delahanty Media. And, of course, you can go to www.delahantymedia.com for all the latest news and updates, not only on our show, but on our brand as a whole. If you haven't done so already, subscribe, rate, and review our show on the podcasting platform of your choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, our shows, they're available for you. We also have a YouTube stream. Go right to Delahanty Media on there. So there's a lot of outlets to check out our show. Whatever you're using today is great with us. Whatever you're comfortable with works greatly for us as well. We don't care how you listen as long as you're here talking Yankees baseball with us. Now, I don't want to wait to talk about this, so let's jump right into the series. And obviously, Game 1 did not start out as planned for the Yankees. They go down 3-0 early on. Domingo Germán on the mound lets up an infield single to Rosario. That was followed by a fielder's choice back to Germán on the mound, hit by Franmil Reyes. He's unable to field it. Another run scores. Then a Josh Naylor single ends up scoring Rosario, and that gave the Indians a 3-0 lead. And at that point, you're sitting there and you're like, oh boy, here we go again. It's going to be another one of those nights. However, Germán was able to settle down. The Yankees offense got him back in the game. Top half of the third, DJ LeMahieu singles to left, scoring Kyle Higashioka. That was followed by a Gleyber Torres RBI single. And then later on in the game, with the game tied up after the Torres single, Rougned Odor hits a single to center field, scoring 2. And then you got a Higashioka homer in the 8th to give the Yankees a 6-3 lead that they would not lose. Let's start on the pitching side of things, shall we? Germán, after his minor league stint, the first inning was rough, but he was able to bounce back and was very solid. 6 strong innings of work, allowed just 7 hits, 2 earned runs, did walk a batter, but struck out 6, only threw 90 pitches. So later on in the year, you can expect that maybe Germán goes a little bit deeper into the ballgame with that pitch count. Nonetheless, he was good. Very positive and encouraging considering the Yankees starting pitching woes as of late. Then you turn the game over to the bullpen, and what does the bullpen do? They are lights out. Loaisaka comes in for an inning, lights out, allows a hit, but nothing else. Chad Green allows nothing, only throws 10 pitches. Then you turn the ball over to Chapman, who ended up striking out the side. Even though he did walk a batter, he picks up his 3rd save of the year. Yankees go on to win this one 6-3. The offense tallies 11 hits. The star of the game, Gleyber Torres, at the plate, that is, 3 for 5, had a run scored. after such a bad start to the year, both offensively and defensively, and then all the talk about him not hustling and the struggles there and everybody just being on his case, Gleyber was able to bounce back and had a big night for the Yankees offense. Rougned Odor also had two hits. He had two RBIs as well. Like I said, other than those guys, the Yankees offense just combined for six of their 11 hits. So, positive start to the series. Obviously, the big positive is Torres and Odor. On the offensive side, Herman and the bullpen. On the pitching side of things, I know it's kind of repetitive at this point, but it just seems like the Yankees bullpen continues to be the bright spot and is the real catalyst for this team. They've been phenomenal, and it's definitely been a boost to this Yankees team. Now, you may think that I'm repeating myself, but I'm not. The same way Game 1 started is the same way that Game 2 started for the New York Yankees, and it was not a good thing. This time, Jordan Montgomery on the mound, he gets roughed up a bit. The Indians scored three runs, Franmil Reyes double, Eddie Rosario ground out, and an Ahmed Rosario single puts them up 3-0 before the Yankees even get their second at-bats in the second inning. However, didn't take long for the Yankees to tie this one up. Aaron Hicks hits a home run to left field, hitting from the right side of the plate with a lefty on the mound. So it was a good confidence booster for him. The early talk of the year was that Hicks was more comfortable from the right-hand side of the plate at this point, and it showed at this at-bat. Then you get a Rougned Odor home run to right, which scored Gary Sanchez and tied the game up. At that point, game is tied. We go to the top of the third. Giancarlo Stanton adds to the home run mix. He hits his first of two homers on the day. This one, 429 feet, puts the Yankees up 4-3. And then in the top half of the fifth, Stanton homers again, this time to right center field. Goes up Otako, and that's your ball game, 5-3. Let's look at the pitching. Montgomery, after the rough first inning, does bounce back rather nicely. Doesn't get out of the fifth inning. Unfortunately, a ground ball at the middle, a difficult play for Gleyber Torres to make. Unable to make it. Aaron Boone decides to go to the bullpen. Lucas Litke comes in, and he drops a nasty, nasty breaking ball to strike out the batter to end the inning. He ends up throwing another inning. Doesn't allow much else. Then the Yankees go with their strength. O'Day to Green to Chapman for the win. Bullpen's been lights out. It's kind of a repetitive theme, but nonetheless, that's been the story of the Yankees season. Now, offensively, Yankees just had six hits, four of which were the long ball. So, if you've been waiting for the Bronx Bombers to be back, this was a game where you said, man, the Yankees won the way we know that they're capable of winning. Hitting a lot of home runs, some clutch home runs at that, getting them in the lead, and not relishing that lead. And Stanton was obviously the star of the game with the two home runs. He had the two RBIs, real catalyst for the offense. They really didn't do much other than the other two long balls. But, hey, a win's a win, and you at least secure a split of the series as you head into a big matchup between Shane Bieber and Gerrit Cole on Saturday night. Obviously, when you have Gerrit Cole and Shane Bieber on the same mound in the same game, you know that runs are going to be scarce. And that's what it was in Cleveland on Saturday night. The two pitchers were both phenomenal. Let's start on the Indian side of things. Bieber ends up picking the loss in this one. He goes seven strong, allows just two runs on four hits, struck out nine. The only damage the Yankees did all game came in the fifth inning. Aaron Hicks, for the second consecutive day, hits a home run to right center field. This one was from the left-handed side of the box, which is phenomenal to see. Hit one from the right side the day before, hit one from the left side in this ballgame. And then Rougned Odor, who absolutely killed the Indians all weekend, he homers to follow that up, and that was all your scoring from the Yankee side, but that's all they would need. So seven strong innings for Bieber through a career-high 119 pitches, but it wasn't enough to get a win for the Indians. And you got to give credit to Gerrit Cole. He was phenomenal once again. Seven strong innings of work, struck out 11 Indians hitters, just fantastic, 111 pitches. Every time Cole touches the mound, it just seems like he is creating new records in new Yankees history. Set a record for most strikeouts through a five-game stretch without allowing a walk. He's been efficient, he's been effective, he's been absolutely lights out, and he is the ace that the Yankees have needed for a very long time. And then not having Chad Green and Aroldis Chapman due to the fact that they pitched back-to-back days, and we know Aaron Boone doesn't like to use relievers 3 days in a row, the Yankees had to use their strength a little more. Now, that's the pen, obviously. They go to Justin Wilson for the eighth. He only gets two outs. The Yankees elect to go to Jonathan Loaisiga for a four-out save, and he was lights out, as he's been all year. Picks up his first career save. So the Yankees pitching does the job again. The Yankees offense just does enough to take home the victory. Just five hits. They struck out 13 times as a team. And I know that I like to talk about the strikeouts a lot because, obviously, it's something that does hamper this Yankees lineup. But when you're facing a quality pitcher like Shane Bieber, it's expected that you're going to have the strikeouts. Those guys are going to strike you out. Gerrit Cole's going to strike you out. So when you're facing top-flight guys, not to say that it's acceptable, but it does happen. Those guys find ways to strike you out. So out of the weekend series of these three games so far that we've discussed, I think this is the biggest win that the Yankees picked up. Number one, when your ace is on the mound, you want to win that game every time out because you know what they're capable of doing. Losing games at Cole starts really, really is a tough pill to swallow. And yes, Bieber is a phenomenal pitcher, but you think that your ace is better than anybody he's going to go out there against. So you want to win that game. You want to take that momentum. And with such a swing in the way the Yankees have been streaky early on, especially in a bad way, getting a win like this to not only secure a series win, but to advance you to Baltimore, at least knowing you're going to take 3 out of 4 in this series, beating one of the top flight pitchers in the American League, that, to me, is drastically huge. And yes, Yankees didn't do much offensively. They had that one inning where they hit the two home runs, but it was enough. Good teams do enough to win games. It doesn't matter the circumstances. At the end of the day, you get the win in the win and loss column, and that's what matters. You're trying to get out of the basement of the American League East and get back to that point where you're expecting your team to be. So I felt this was such a huge, I mean huge, step in the right direction because this series, at least securing a series win, truly will mean a lot, especially when you look back and you say, you know what, maybe that was a turning point in this team's season. And we could kind of look to this as a point where they started to figure things out. Obviously, it's not going to happen overnight where they just miraculously figure things out overnight. But it's a step in the right direction. But you know what isn't a step in the right direction? The Yankees lineup they threw out there for Game 4. And I posted it on Twitter. I was not very happy, and understandably so. I was not very happy with the lineup that Aaron Boone decided to put out there. I'm going to read that said lineup to you. Brett Gardner led off in center field. You guys know how I feel about Gardner at this point. We found out that Gardner was playing because Hicks had some back problems. I understand that. I totally get it. Stanton DHing, which I'm okay with. Judge in right field, which I'm fine with. Odor in the four hole. Take it or leave it. You know, he's hitting the ball well against the Indians. I guess they figured go with the hot hand. Gleyber at short. Urshel at third. Mike Ford at first. Gary Sanchez behind the plate. And Tauchman in left field. So no Frazier, who I really want them to just let him play, and LeMahieu. So I wasn't a big fan of the lineup. I thought that they should have really tried to get a sweep, but regardless, we know how tough it is to sweep an opposing team on the road. The last time the Yankees swept the Indians on the road was 1996. Let's take that into perspective. 1996. I was 3 years old. So it's been a long time, to say the least. Regardless, the Yankees are unable to take home the sweep. Jameson Taillon got the start for the Yankees. We'll get to him in a minute. We're going to go through the scoring for you. Top of the fourth, the Yankees get the party started. Gio Urshela, the most happy fella, hits a two-run homer to center field, followed by Mike Ford, who hit a home run to go back-to-back. Yankees have a 3-0 lead, and at that point, you're looking at Taillon. You're saying, all right, this guy looks solid early on. Let's see what he can do in the bottom half of the fourth inning. Unfortunately, the bottom half of the fourth inning was not good for Taillon. He coughs up the lead as the Indians score 4 runs, one coming on an Eddie Rosario single, then a Franmil Reyes homer to right field, gave them a 4-3 lead. In that inning, Tyone threw 37 pitches. That would be it for him in the ballgame. Threw 82 pitches total. So if you think about it as a whole, half of his pitches almost came in one full inning of work. That cannot happen. But let's just take a little breather from the box score, break down Tyone for you. First three innings look pretty solid. I'm sitting there and I'm saying, you know what, this guy's looking better and better each start. Now we just need some length out of him. I feel like he's getting more confident coming back from the Tommy John. I feel like he's getting more comfortable in the setting. I think that he's starting to figure it out a little bit. But, and he said it after the game, hits with two strikes have been his kryptonite this year. He's got to figure that out. A lot of teams are getting quality hits off of him with two strikes. He's getting to that point where he's getting in the count where he wants to be, but he just can't finish off batters. I'm sure it's something that him and Matt Blake will be working on. However, it just hasn't clicked just yet. And I think that the Yankees see that there are some innings where he's overtaxed and aren't pushing him early on in the year, knowing how important he is going to be down the stretch. So I wouldn't panic about Tyone. He had one really bad inning in this one. The box score doesn't indicate that. However, the first three innings, he did show some promise. So I'll take it as an average start. Of course, you would like to not have that fourth inning, but it is what it is. The Yankees turned to Nick Nelson in the fifth, and Nelson was just not good. He has not been good for the most part all year. He goes two innings. He allowed the other three Indians runs. The Indians scored seven runs total. Luis Sessa came in for two innings at the end and looked really good. Sessa's been solid. You know, Nelson was out there a little too long. Everybody was about to riot that he was in the game. You know, I was in that same predicament. I was not very happy that he was left in there, but we'll talk about that in a moment, why that now makes sense. Yankees kind of punted this one. Like I said earlier, I just felt like they were satisfied with three games in this series. So be it. But they go on to lose this game 7-3, and they leave Cleveland with a 9-12 record. So, like I said earlier, the three wins, very big momentum boost. I think it's a very positive thing for this Yankees team. Would we have liked to have had a sweep? Absolutely. But, you know, at the same time, get some starters some rest. You do have a long stretch of games still to go. You have four against Baltimore, another three against Detroit before you have an off day. You know, Aaron Boone's trying to be careful with these guys early in the year, especially given that a guy like DJ LeMay, who hasn't been himself lately, Aaron Hicks was dealing with a little back injury. So trying to be safe with these guys and get them back on track. In this game, like we kind of expected, the Yankees offense really didn't do much, just six hits. They scored the three runs in the fourth inning on the two home runs, and that was kind of the storyline of the series. Home runs were the big thing. Yankees were finding their way to hit the long ball, and it was working. They were able to manufacture runs that way. Hey, that's why they're called the Bronx Bombers. Franmil Reyes absolutely killed the Yankees. He was a double shy of the cycle. Hit a really weird triple off the wall. Ricocheted off the fence. Clint Frazier doing the right thing, backing up Tauchman. It was basically a misplay of the ball. They were unable to get it in before Reyes got the third. And you know what? He killed him in this one. He was the real MVP for the Indians in this win. Speaking of Frazier, had a highlight reel catch in the eighth inning of the ball game. Just unbelievable catch. If you haven't seen it, go look it up on YouTube or on Twitter. You won't want to miss it. Phenomenal catch. Please stop telling me that he needs a defensive replacement late in games. Let this kid figure it out in the field. He's capable. I've been telling you guys this. I guess Aaron Boone doesn't listen to the show, because if he did, he would be in the same predicament, in the same mindset, and be like, man, this guy's right. I got a left fielder. Let him play. Let him get used to it. He can do it. He's capable. We don't need Gardner to go into the field to make that play. My guy Clint, he's got it. Aaron Boone needs to trust me here, because I think once the Yankees let him play every day and there's no stress of him coming out of the game if he messes up, I think he's going to be very, very much fine. They need to keep him in the field nine innings. I know I probably sound like a broken record at this point, but it has to be said. And that play, although it's just one play, shows what he's capable of. The guy was a Gold Glove finalist in right field last year. He could figure it out. Trust in Clint. You won't regret it, Mr. Boone. I'm telling you. All right, so I'll get off my Clint Frazier rant. We're going to talk about another outfielder, and that is Aaron Judge. Buster Olney of ESPN said that the Yankees had light discussions with the Los Angeles Angels about a possible trade involving Aaron Judge. He said talks didn't really get far. Obviously, it was probably one of those phone calls where the Angels said, "Hey, Brian, what's the price tag on Aaron?" And Brian Cashman probably either said, "He's unavailable," or gave a price tag that the Angels were not willing to meet, and then talks went elsewhere. Would I read much into it? No. I think that a lot of players are talked about during the offseason that we might not even know about. Clubs do their due diligence. They're trying to find ways to improve their club that, you know, might be outside of the box. And we all know that the Yankees have some outfield depth. Maybe the Angels thought that they can pry Judge away and pair him with Mike Trout. Now, Judge's injury history kind of takes away from his trade value because it is a risk. But the only way I see the Yankees ever trading Judge is if they think they can't re-sign him, which you're the New York Yankees. If you can't re-sign Aaron Judge, you know, you're one of the most profited franchises in all of sports. There's got to be a way you can re-sign him. Or if they don't think he's worth the money that he's asking for. So I think that they realize how much money this guy brings in, the revenue and the fans he brings in. And I don't think they're going to trade him anytime soon. Now, if they go into next year and they can't come up with a contract with him and they think, you know what, maybe it would be beneficial to trade him, we have a guy just like him in Giancarlo Stanton, then maybe they explore it. But on the scale of 1 to 10, if I'm talking about how serious I think this is, I'm taking 1, 1 being the lowest. I don't think you should read much into it. I think that it's due diligence. I'm sure there's a lot of players out there, big names out there, that clubs have called and said, "Look, you know, I want this player. What would it take?" If you're a GM and you're not making those calls, then you're not doing your job because you want to look under every rock and see what you could come up with. And that's something that I think the Angels were doing. And obviously, if you get a phone call, if you're the Yankees, you're going to listen. It doesn't matter who it is. You're going to listen. If it makes your club better at the end of the day, it doesn't hurt to take that phone call and see what the other side of the phone has to offer or to say. So don't read much into it. I know that there were some people out there that were happy with it. Some people think that Judge should be traded. Some people were frantic because they think Judge should be here long term. I'm sitting here and I'm like, listen, there's nothing concrete. The talks didn't get deep. They were just having an off-season conversation. That's what I would chalk it up to. Wouldn't read much into it. Don't panic. I don't think anything is going to happen anytime soon. Now, the Yankees, coming off their series win against the Indians, will now go to the home of Gleyber Torres in Baltimore to take on the Orioles. Game 1 will be on Monday night. It will be Davey Garcia on the mound, scheduled to pitch against Matt Harvey, former Met, former Tar Heel. It will be an interesting one. Garcia takes the mound. I'll be watching the game, watching his first start of the year, eating some birthday cake. It's my mom's birthday. Shout out, Mom. Happy birthday. Love you. Hopefully, he gets a win and proves to the Yankees that he belongs in the rotation long term. As of now, looks like Tuesday's game will be a 7 o'clock start once again. Will be Corey Kluber against Bruce Zimmerman. This is a great place and a great time for Corey Kluber to get back on track. Yankees really do need him to bounce back. Game 3, same time, 7 o'clock. Domingo Herman is scheduled to pitch for the Yankees. We'll see how he does in that one. Hopefully, he follows up his last start with an even better start here. And then Thursday's game, the final game in the series, will be Jordan Montgomery against Jorge Lopez. That'll be a 1 o'clock start. And that's when our next episode will drop, sometime after the final pitch of that one. Once that series is over, the Yankees look ahead to take on the Detroit Tigers at home for a 3-game set to end their 13-game stretch. So I brought it up in the beginning, and I'm going to just reiterate it now. Are the New York Yankees officially back? And my answer to that is no. And before you get mad at me and before you get upset with me, hear me out. I don't think the Yankees are back just yet. Yes, is a positive sign in the right direction, but they need to take 3 of 4 against the Orioles. No split, no losing the series. You have to take at least 3 of 4. And then you have to take 2 of 3 against Detroit. and you have to head into the Houston series with a ton of momentum. Even though Houston's not playing well, the Yankees get a crack at them for the first time since the whole cheating scandal. They'll be coming to the Bronx. If that's not motivation, I don't know what is. But I think this stretch of games is huge for the Yankees. And before I could truly say they're back, I'm going to wait it out and see. I don't want to get my hopes up. But I am feeling a lot more positive about this team than I was a couple of days ago. Very great weekend. Hopefully, they follow it up with a early week stretch of success. And that's going to do it for today's episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. If you missed it at the beginning of the show, follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick Delahanty. We're also on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. If you haven't done so already, if you like our show, you like our content, subscribe, rate, and review on any podcasting platform of your choice. We suggest Apple Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, the show's there available for you. And we're also on YouTube. You can check out the video stream of our show by searching up Delahanty Media. If you want to support our brand, go to www.delahantymedia.com for all the latest gear and merchandise. Buy some gear, support the brand. Public advertising is always a good thing. And be on the lookout for another show come Thursday. Hopefully, we have another series victory to talk about for the New York Yankees. Once again, this is the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. As always, let's go Yankees. It's a lot better when there's positive things to talk about. Hopefully, that trend continues. Until next time, take care, everyone. Hopefully, you're all doing well. And we can't wait to talk some more Yankees baseball with you in the near future. We'll talk to you really soon.